Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the light of the world, and who calls us to have that light of his shine forth in our lives, dear fellow redeemed, the Christian in a pagan world, the church's ministry in a corrupt society. At least that's what this little Bible class pamphlet on 1 Corinthians says. And both of those statements, the Christian in a pagan world and the church's ministry in a corrupt society, aptly describes what life was like in the city of Corinth during Paul's day. The city featured at least 12 temples dedicated to gods and goddesses. In the temple of Aphrodite, there were 1,000 priestesses who served there, who served and worked as temple prostitutes. To have sexual relations with them was looked upon as being worship. In fact, sexual immorality and debauchery was so prevalent in the city of Corinth, the term was phrased to Corinthianize, which meant to live a spiritually immoral life. A Corinthian girl was known as a call girl, a harlot. Into this city, we heard last Sunday that Paul came with fear and trembling, not because of the immorality of the city, but because of the gospel message not being received very well in Athens, because they looked upon that as being kind of sinful. But what do we hear? The Lord brought many people to listen to the Apostle Paul, and he established a church of quite a few people in Corinth who believed in Jesus Christ through the simple message of Christ crucified and risen again. And that was the good news. The church got into Corinth. But the bad news was Corinth also got into the church, as spiritual morality had ensnared and trapped some of the members of the Christian congregation. They use the excuse of freedom. We get the freedom to do what we want. I have the freedom to use my body any way I want to, right? And if I'm doing it with someone else who's consenting, there's no problem. Ever heard that before? Sexual relations outside of marriage were just as prevalent during Paul's day in Corinth as they are today. They considered it their prerogative, their right. They looked upon it as being proper moral behavior to have relations with whomever and whenever. A lot like today, where living together outside of marriage is not only accepted, it's really today expected. So really, the statement, the Christian in a pagan world, and the church's ministry in a corrupt society is a very apt description of modern day America. So Paul's words being directed to the people and the believers in Corinth have very important application to us today. And the first thing Paul is saying is, our bodies are not ours. Our bodies belong to God. The intimate and blessed relationship which God establishes with believers is through Christ's shed blood. We read in verses 15, 17, and 20 of our text. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've been bought at a price. And what a price. It's the death of the Son of God. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Jesus bought us with his blood on the cross. Bought us with his spirit. Dying on a cross for all of us. That price is our first point. Jesus has purchased our bodies with his own blood. God in his grace makes us believers then part of his own family. In fact, part of Christ. The spiritual body of Christ, that's the believers. We're his church. We've been sanctified. That means set apart from sin. Set apart from this unbelieving world to be different. To be unique. To be distinct. To be special. To be peculiar. To be God's own. His own children. No relationship in your life, even husband and wife, parent or child, or best friends, is more precious, is more special than the relationship of the believer with his Savior. The believer with Jesus. We're not masters and owners of our own body. Jesus says, I bought your body. I purchased it with my own blood. Paul writes in verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And that's part two of our text. The Spirit lives in our bodies. The body of every believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies have become God's sacred dwelling place. Polluting our bodies through fornication or sexual immorality would be the same as coming to this church and throwing garbage or trash or feces all over this pulpit, altar, lectern, baptismal font. It'd be desecrating God's house. We disgrace and desecrate God's spiritual house, our bodies, when we sin sexually. That's why Paul says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Because of the Spirit who lives in us, our bodies are devoted to God. They're to be used to his glory and for his purposes. Paul continues, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. The person who has sexual relations with anyone outside of marriage is expressing a perverted oneness with that person. God intended the marriage union to be the only proper union between husband and wife sexually. That's why Paul says, he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Paul clearly indicates that any and every sexual immorality or sexual relationship outside of the marriage bond, is an illegitimate relationship. It is ungodly because God established that marriage union to be one husband and one wife. It's that God-pleasing union that the Lord says has been given to us That's why Paul then says, flee sexual immorality. The Greek word there is a present imperative. And you've heard this before. By now you probably know a present imperative means it is a continuing activity. Continue to flee sexual immorality. Why do we need to continue to do that? Because sexual immorality continually attacks us. Turn on the TV. It's present in our homes. Go to the movies. Listen to music. Watch videos. We're bombarded wherever we go with sexual immorality attacks. The eyes, the mind, the heart, our soul is assaulted by immoral words, immoral actions, ungodly behavior. So Paul says we shouldn't play around with sexual immorality. We shouldn't think, we can stand up to it. We can bear it. Encourage us to do what Joseph did. When he was being attacked and assaulted sexually by Potiphar's wife, he fled. He left his coat behind. He fled. And finally, we see in our text that our Father will glorify our bodies. We go back to the first verse of our text. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The Corinthians believed that they had freedom. They were free and right to express themselves sexually with whomever and whenever. And even the Corinthian Christians, some of them were believing the same thing. We've been free from the law. Paul said, we're free from the curse of the law. We're free from the demands of the law because Jesus fulfilled the law for us and therefore we are free. But Paul again says in our text, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yes, we're free from the curse of the law through Christ's shed blood. Free from the demands of the law because Christ kept them. But sexual immorality, Paul says, is lawlessness. Living apart from the law. And that is sin. In that verse where Paul talks about food in the stomach, it's kind of hard to understand what he's talking about there. But it appears that the Corinthians looked upon their physical hunger desires in much the same way as they do their sexual desires or appetite. And they thought, well, we can eat any kind of food to satisfy our physical hunger. Therefore, we can have relations with anybody we want to satisfy our spiritual or our sexual desires as well. But Paul condemns that too. In our text, he says, food's for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Paul is saying, these are two distinct issues. They're not the same. Yes, God did intend for our bodies to satisfy our physical hunger with any and all kinds of food that God gives to us here on this earth. But in the end, on Judgment Day, all foods will be destroyed. And our stomach, as it is now, will be changed. But God did not intend for us to satisfy sexual desires with anyone or anywhere. He's given every single person a desire to eat. And we as male and female have desires for relations as well sexually. But Paul says that is not to be without God's blessing. He says in another place, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Ultimately, Paul says, the ultimate purpose for our life, for our bodies, is first of all to be redeemed, to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit living in us, to be redeemed by Jesus Christ, so that our sins are washed away. And then it is to be resurrected and then glorified through eternal life. Paul writes in our text, and God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. At Edith's committal service this past Tuesday, these words were read. May God the Father, who created this body, may God the Son, who by his blood redeemed this body together with the soul, And may God the Holy Spirit, who by holy baptism sanctified this body to be his temple, keep these remains to the day of the resurrection of all flesh. And those words will probably someday be read over my body someday, and over yours too, as we're either cremated or placed into the ground, because a body destined for glorious immortality should not be used for disgraceful immorality. Our bodies belong to God, not ourselves. Our bodies are meant for honor and for glory, especially on Judgment Day and in heaven. Sexual immorality is not freedom, it is sin. These are some very, very important words for all of us to hear as we're bombarded by sexual immorality all around us. Whether we're young or old, married or unmarried, Christ gave us his body on the cross to cleanse us from all of our sins. The Holy Spirit lives in our bodies spiritually through his word, makes his temple his dwelling in our bodies. And with the Holy Spirit, we've been led to know the difference between fornication and freedom. The difference between sexual immorality and sexual chastity. The difference between purity and pornography. The difference between virginity and vulgarity. You'll then be led to avoid the dangers of self-destroying sins. And finally, we'll realize why God made us the way we are, why the Holy Spirit lives in us, so we can fulfill the purpose that God gave us. We say it every time we recite or read the meaning to Martin Luther's meaning to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Why? He did this that I should be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and joy. Just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds centered in our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.